What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We're coming to H time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
If not now, then when? If not tomorrow, then when?
Which day?
It's a football Friday today, and tomorrow is a football Saturday, and I love Saturday playoff games. You know what I love more than anything? Saturday 3:30 playoff games. We got them right where we want them tomorrow, old Sethers.
Let's get the Chiefs back to where they belong.
Yes.
Which is forever the team that would have promising regular seasons and then flame out in the postseason. Okay?
Long time.
They've had their nice little moment.
Yep.
They've had, I don't know, their they won a championship
three or two or something.
Well, shut up. So they've had their time.
Yeah.
It's time for them to return to their rightful spot. And not to mention Andy Reid as well.
Yes.
Let's get this franchise and this geriatric coach back to where they belong, which is promising regular season, playoff disappointment.
Yes.
There we go.
And you know who's behind you, Texans? America.
America.
America is behind you. The patriotic thing to do would be to march into Kansas City as an underdog. America at one time was an underdog in a war back in the day.
That's right.
Yeah.
Do you even like America?
Right.
If you're rooting for the Chiefs, the Chiefs,
commie bastards.
They have a little Freudian slip there. I would submit that you don't. I would submit that if you don't, if you're pulling for the Chiefs in this game, that you hate America. And frankly, I can't abide that. I can't stand by that. If that's your opinion,
is it a coincidence or is it planned that their team colors are the same as the Soviet flag back in the 80s?
I don't think it's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
And China. They basically
China
got the Hunt,
too.
The Hunt family got together and basically said, "Look, we can see which way the wind is blowing.
That's right.
It's blowing from the." Thrown from the east and over across the Siberia into America, and we're just going to go full commie.
This just dawned on me. The biggest upset, perhaps, in the history of the team sports, red, white, and blue, the Texans colors.
That against, sounds good to me.
Against red and gold, the Soviet colors back in the day. USA.
Was gold part of the Soviet colors?
Yes. Their letters were yellow on the Soviet uniforms. I thought they were. I don't know.
Okay.
I thought they were. If they weren't, then their main color was the same, which is red. Red versus the red, white, and blue. This is you know what's at stake? Democracy right now. Democracy is at stake with this game.
You're exactly right. The flag is red and yellow.
Thank
Good
you.
Good job.
I was getting nervous.
That's a pretty simple one for me to not know, given my vast knowledge of Cold War history.
What's Cold War aside, what's your excitement level for this game right now? Because I feel like I think you knew that by the end of the week you were going to be at a fever pitch for this
game. I've watched enough highlights of the Texans defense, Derek Stingley, Kamari Lassiter, Danico Dam Autry, Mario Edwards. I've watched enough defensive highlights that I feel like, all right, after this long layoff, Pat Mahomes will set a record for amount of time, amount of a layoff before he ends up playing in the playoffs. Previous record held by Warren Moon. And the defense will be humming, and that's what I'm excited to watch and see. The Chiefs should be favorites. The Chiefs, especially as they return to health at the end of the year. And I say return to health. I mean, Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown, hadn't been around the entire season.
Yeah.
He played two games towards the end of the year before everybody rested. But this is, this is going to be a fun one, and I think a much better game than a lot of people would expect or anticipate. Mostly because I think there's a perception of the Texans based on that three games in 12 days that turned it way more negative than it should be. Now, don't get me wrong. It was notable and significant that the Ravens and the Chiefs went through that same 12-day stretch and looked really good and very competent. But I think because the Texans had to go through that and also deal with the loss of Tank Dell, like almost smack dab in the middle of those three games, it's colored our perception of the Texans, and that game last week righted the ship a little bit.
Yeah, I think so too. The biggest swings in reaction to the Texans happen after nationally televised games I don't think is a coincidence. I think we cover them day to day here. The fact of the matter is the nation has not had a huge taste of this version of the Texans the last 2 years until they're kind of floundering in some midseason primetime game. They're losing to the Jets on Halloween. They're coughing up a 20-point lead to the Chiefs in a Sunday night football game, the two games you just pointed out. And so then they go and they decimate the Chargers, and now they're not everybody's darling, but the same people who were completely writing them off last week, like completely writing them off in a coin flip game at home, now I feel like at least, other than a few notable exceptions, are going, okay, well, they got a shot in this one here. Like, if the defense is like that, they're going to give Patrick Mahomes everything he can handle.
Even though the spread is three times higher in this game. I think that the other big X factor that people outside of Houston or even in Houston might not give as much credence, but for me means a lot, is just the simple presence of Azeez Alshire. Mm-hmm. That game against the Chiefs, which by the way, was a competitive game, even though it didn't feel like it. The Texans had driven down to be in a very good position to score in the fourth quarter and tie up the game. But then, credit to the Chiefs, they were the better team in the fourth quarter. C.J. Stroud made some mistakes, and the Texans fell apart. But it wasn't like they were getting run out of the building, and that was on the road in Kansas City.
Think about the vibe of that game. If Tank doesn't hurt his knee on that touchdown.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if he, and I'm not talking about CJ's reaction to, I'm talking about like the Texans were actually moving the football with Tank out there. Instead of an ambulance coming onto the field after that touchdown to tie it up, or should have tied it up if Kaimi makes the extra point, instead of an ambulance coming onto the field and the game hitting a complete stoppage for 20 minutes, you got a celebration at 17-17, and, Kansas City's, feeling a little bit of heat in that moment.
Let me put that in five reasons to hate Kansas City.
Okay.
That little, wannabe MASH unit ambulance that they brought onto the field.
Okay.
That made everything feel that much worse.
Yeah.
It looked like he was being shipped home from Korea.
Yeah.
I didn't appreciate that.
Okay.
Didn't appreciate that at all.
I'm writing that down because I've got the five reasons already set and loaded for 8:25. But admittedly, it's tough when you play a team 3 weeks before. Our attempt at this is to try to be original with this, which is really hard to do with divisional games every year because there's two per year. This was a tricky one because I'm like, man, they just played these guys 3 weeks ago and I had to come up with material then.
Well, the other, like, since then, Pat Mahomes has had a kid because apparently.
Well, don't give them away. Let's workshop these a little bit and save them for later. But that. Mahomes has had a kid.
I was just going to throw it out there in my reasoning, but okay.
Go ahead. Right. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. My goal on the show is to not piss you off in the first segment.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I thought about that this morning. I think I made you angry in the first segment yesterday. I'm like, all right, my goal is to not
you
make
you corrected me on something I was right about in the first segment.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I misunderstood.
Just don't do that.
I misunderstood you is what happened. I misunderstood you. Anyways. All right, so the injury report yesterday. So you mentioned Azeez. Are you nervous that he didn't practice at all the last couple of days?
A little bit. Yeah. I mean, I think he's going to play no matter what. But Azeez's athleticism and his ability to hit, and mostly, I mean, his gray matter more than anything else, especially going back and watching that game. There were times in that game against the Chiefs where the Texans were trying to do the simulated blitzes and everything, and then linebackers were getting picked off. Legal picks, really, by Travis Kelce is really good at legal picks, and or rubs, however you got to call them to make them legal. And like that kind of stuff, if you're trying to confuse Pat Mahomes, it ends up working out exactly the opposite if you don't have everybody just dialed in. And I think Aziz is a huge part of that, obviously. I think he'll play. I just hope that his injury, or however banged up he is, isn't enough to keep him out a little bit.
I think
at the very
least,
we know if Aziz is on the field, Pat Mahomes will not be pulling any of that fake slide nonsense.
Yes. Yeah, well, yeah. And if he does, then Aziz is going to be in line for potentially a 9-game suspension or something. Like, he's going to make him pay for it. Mm-hmm. What about Joe Mixon not practicing the last couple days?
I think that's hey, he's a running back. He's had an ongoing, lingering ankle issue, and they're just going to take it as easy as possible. Yeah. Now, I almost wonder if maybe the silver lining in that, if his ankle is bothering him more than usual, is that sometimes forced innovation ends up being a really good thing. Mm-hmm. We've talked about, like, man, why are they not using Joe Mixon more as a receiver, especially when the running game isn't going well? And that's one way to save a little wear and tear is, like, okay, we're going to spring him out there as a receiver more often. Maybe Damian Pierce gets a few carries, which Tennessee Titans performance notwithstanding, I still get a little bit nervous about. But it could provide some wrinkles that the Chiefs haven't seen by necessity, but it's still a wrinkle. So, and I would love to see Joe Mixon used more as a receiver. This is the fewest number of receptions he's had in a season in quite a while, in 4 or 5 years. And especially in games where the Texans have struggled running the ball, I don't quite get it.
Yeah.
But I'm all for it. I think Mixon's going to be fine.
Okay, Robert Woods, he hasn't practiced all week with a hip injury. So this is actually, I do wonder who's returning punts if Robert Woods isn't there.
Derek Stingley.
That's what I threw out there yesterday, and I was told by a few people. I got the equivalent of "you don't know ball" from a few people.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody would ever put a star player out there as a
who returned punts at LSU for double-digit yards per return.
Well, what were people's concerns? That it would be injury. Too physically taxing for him, or injury?
Yeah, you would be exposing, arguably, your best player. You'd be exposing him to injury.
Yeah, okay. You'd also be exposing him to greatness. Sorry, everybody. It's football. Will everybody stop being so scared of getting hurt? Yeah, injuries happen. Derek Stingley, it's one game versus the Chiefs in which you're a vast underdog, okay?
Well, and if you
realistically, there's a chance he's going to get injured. Yeah, you know what? There's also a really good chance you're not going to win this football game.
Right.
Put him out there.
Right.
Let him play football.
Yeah.
Let Derek play.
There's no game next week if you lose. Like, this is the all your starters are in the bullpen game, right?
Yeah.
I mean, everything is available. Everything's on the table.
Right.
Yeah.
We would put Garrett Cole in as a reliever in this game.
Or to return punts. Yes.
Yes.
That would be fun.
Well, God, no. Boy, he'd be awful with that.
That would be fun.
Oh, the ball's coming right at me.
Garrett Cole. Yeah, I need Garrett Cole talking trash to Patrick Mahomes. Just two Kermits yelling at each other. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. We're off and running on a football Friday. All right. Up next, the six-pack. We'll dig into some of the storylines, the people, et cetera, that matter in this game. I'll give my prediction. Seth will give his prediction in the 9 o'clock hour. Bobby Slowick interviewed for the Jets job yesterday too. A little react to that we'll get to among Jets Nation in the next segment as well. Stay there. You're listening to Payne and Pendergast.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Hey, a quick reminder, if you're looking to support the squad, today is today's a great day to do it. If you want to leave work early, head down to down or up, whichever way, or over to NRG Stadium at noon today. The team's going to be leaving. The buses will be headed to the airport. They want as many Texan fans there as possible to see the team off. And you can get your H's up, just like Seth was working on during the break.
I was telling Sean, I have an insecurity about when I throw up the H, mostly because it's really hard for me to see where it's an actual H.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I got to be doing something wrong. Is it just the top half of an H is what we're saying that
is?
Okay.
Yeah, it's the top
Forever,
half of an
I was
H.
trying to figure out how it was a lowercase H. No. And I just didn't get it.
Oh, I can see that. Now I can see where you're like, do I need to do this sideways or do I need to do this vertically?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I thought I had some kind of a little learning disability or something.
No, I think it's just that you're right. It probably should come with some instructions that we are required to use our imagination for the bottom half.
I have some glitches in my brain, as you know. Like I'm actually really good at math, not when I'm trying to do it on air, because that's a whole like a verbal part of your brain is so engaged that I said, but I got a 750 on my math SATs, and yet when it comes to doing like just playing card games and stuff, I have like some kind of block.
Really?
I have a really hard time with it. Yeah.
When you say card
games,
so
maybe I had like a little minor dyslexia with throwing up the H's.
You mean like if you're sitting at a blackjack table, like you need someone sitting there with you to kind of do the
Which
do
everybody
the
loves. Yeah.
What do I have here?
My problem is always with anything like that. I make it way more complicated than it needs to be. Yeah. Like when I play chess or checkers, I'm trying to think like seven moves ahead, and then I get taken by a pawn, you know? It's just, so as you know, my brain is really weird. So I'm throwing up the H, right? I always have a little insecurity.
You're doing
like,
it
I'm
right.
going to show up on a video of like, look at this jackass, doesn't even know how to throw up the H.
No, you're doing it right.
Okay.
And I told you during the break, like most people I see doing it are actually holding it horizontally, like a sideways H.
That's why I thought it was supposed to be like a lowercase H or something.
To be clear, like I am merely guessing. I think that I'm just using logic. Like I think this just looks like part of an H, you know, it looks like the upper half. We'll see. I'm sure the text page, if we're wrong, I'm sure they'll weigh in on this.
Probably a super simple explanation
I know. Hey, before we get into the six-pack here, someone brings up a point on the text page. I like this. Maybe that's one of the purposes of this show today, is to start to pile up the reasons why we think the Texans are going to win this game.
Yeah, they're starting to flow like water.
They are, yeah. Someone says, not sure if you mentioned this yet. I actually had it in my notes, but we haven't mentioned it yet. Pat Mahomes is 0-2 in the playoffs on 3:30 starts. So how about that? Yeah.
What a bum.
Yeah.
He's the opposite of a prime. He's only a primetime performer.
He's a brunch or a late night dinner guy, man.
He doesn't know how to put in the work.
Nope.
You know?
No, that's good.
It's like a restaurant manager that won't man the fry station when it's required.
That's right.
Yeah.
Can't you guys take care of this 3:30 thing? I hate 3:30. Hate it.
I got a newborn at home. By the way, that's another reason. Okay, yep, good. Let's go.
We got it. All right, we're good. He's got three of them now. Hopefully this kid has a better smile. All right, the six-pack. Let's get to the reasons, the storylines, the people that are going to be important in this game, and can the Texans pull off a victory in this game on Saturday, tomorrow, 3:30. You can hear it here on Sports Radio 610. Texans countdown at 12:30. All right, the number one, you mentioned it in the open, we'll mention it again. I think it's one of the biggest storylines of the game, the return of Azeez Al-Shaair. Here is D'Amico Ryans on Tuesday this week talking about how important Azeez Al-Shaair's leadership is.
Azeez is been a great vocal leader. He always shares a great message. He's great at articulating those messages to the players, and the players are very attentive when Aziz is talking, right? When Aziz talks to the team, it always comes from the heart. It's heartfelt, it's sincere, and you can tell how much he cares about the guys just with his messages. So I know it resonates with the guys, and that's what a team is about, right? When your team leaders are standing up giving the messages, they go a lot further than what I have to say because they know my messages don't change. It's the same thing from when we started at training camp to now. Like, we're going to be consistent in messaging from me and what I expect of our guys, because I believe in winning. It takes a certain way to win games, and that doesn't change right from day one to where we are now. So really thankful for Aziz and his leadership, thankful for CJ, Will, the guys who step up and lead when it comes to being vocal leaders. Like, you need that. You need guys to do it the right way, but at times players need to hear from each other, and it means a lot more when they do that. So we have a lot of guys who aren't afraid to speak up and speak their mind to each other and pour out their hearts to each other.
Yeah, veteran leadership is always a tricky thing, and you never know exactly what it's going to look like or who your good leaders are going to be. In the playoffs especially, it's really good to have a lot of older guys who have a kind of maturity about them. And Aziz isn't actually that old, but he's one of those guys that's way mature beyond his years, and he's had some life experiences that make him really unique. The biggest thing is, for me, his leadership on the field. Like we saw with D'Amico in that mic'd up segment where D'Amico asks him where he's going to be a defensive coordinator. He doesn't want to lose him to being a defensive coordinator. That has come up huge so many times. Going back to that goal line stand against the Jaguars, Aziz told the D-line exactly what was coming, changed their alignments a little bit. There was a play in the game last week where Aziz adjusted to an offensive adjustment. Then the offense adjusted again, and Aziz adjusted again, and they stuffed the run because of it. That kind of stuff, that on-field leadership, especially in the playoffs, that's huge. The other guy, the guy who is a different personality than Aziz, but I think just by virtue of his play, who shows up in the playoffs we've seen now, is Nico Collins.
Yeah.
I think the fact that Nico has put in some of his best performances in the playoffs, and last week when on that 99-yard touchdown drive, there was three receptions by Nico on that drive, including the touchdown play.
Yeah.
There's a certain strength in Nico in the playoffs that I think is just gonna, it's a rock solid foundation. I think that's who he is.
And I would count that Week 18 game against the Colts last year, which was his biggest game. That to me counts as a playoff game.
The play-in game.
The play-in game. Yeah, absolutely. So Aziz Alshire, the return of him, that's a big one. Number two, CJ's newly found magic legs. This whole wrinkle that was unlocked in the late second quarter of Saturday's game and was used a few times in the second half. CJ running the football and needing to be accounted for at least in some way. Here was Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator for the Chiefs, talking about CJ's running ability.
I was very impressed with him. I told him that after the game last time we played him. For young guys, so talented. And we all saw what he did last week with his feet. You know, I think when the importance of these games keep amping up, you can expect quarterbacks to say, hey, I might have to run it here. And so we've talked extensively about, you know, trying to bottle this quarterback up, because we saw last week what he can do when he decides to run it. It's like all these athletic quarterbacks who play in this league now. It brings a whole another dimension, and you got to figure out ways to, you know, whether you commit one guy to the quarterback, turn three loose, turn, you know, however you do it, you got to have ways to do it. Now, that being said, we got to get him in those situations. I mean, it's first and second down, and they're on schedule. That makes it really tough. When a quarterback takes off on a first and second down, you know, run pass call, and it ends up passing, he's going. That's challenging.
CJ's name getting dropped in with all the athletic quarterbacks. I didn't see that.
I know,
It's kind of cool.
We were wondering if maybe CJ is more athletic than we want to give him credit for, mostly just because he's duck-footed.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when guys are duck-footed, when you watch him walking around and everything, you're like, I don't know about this guy.
Yeah.
But he does. When he pulls it down and runs, he only needs to be as athletic as Pat Mahomes, it's as much about his choice of when to run and, you know, in which situations matters more than anything else. Pat Mahomes ran a 4.8 40.
Yeah.
You know, he's athletic enough.
Yeah.
And with CJ, that's all it is. He's athletic enough. The one thing that I found really interesting this week when CJ talked about it was that he had said you know, I want to, I'll paraphrase. He said, you know, I feel like I am a really good pocket passer. I want to be an elite pocket passer. And yes, that's true. But in the modern NFL, man, nobody is going to mark you down for running like Pat Mahomes. Man, nobody second guesses whether or not Pat Mahomes is a good pocket quarterback.
Right.
He just takes the easy opportunities. And then because you take those easy opportunities, yes, they help in the moment, but it really does open up the passing game for a couple reasons. One is that if they have to commit a guy on defense to keep an eye on you and stay in the center of the field, that opens everything up over the outside. It helps. It keeps guys in coverage a little further back, so you've got more openings over the middle in the quick game. And then the nature and the way in which you run the ball, Pat Mahomes does it perfectly. He just runs straight ahead.
Yeah.
And the same, CJ did that a couple times in the game, because that's what really stresses out a defense. If you're rolling to the sideline, you can make some things happen, but in some ways it makes it easier for the coverage.
Yeah.
When the quarterback escapes up the middle, he's got 50 yards of space with which to work. And in coverage, if he's moving towards the line of scrimmage, the guys in coverage have to make that decision. Like, all right, do I come up and meet the quarterback at the line of scrimmage, or do I stay in coverage? So that was it wasn't just the fact that he ran. It was the nature of his runs where he threatens the defense a lot.
Yeah,
more.
And I think the big thing, too, on that, Seth, is third down. Like, this team, they're lacking weapons right now. They've had trouble on third down in the second half of the season. If CJ's more willing on a third and seven to tuck it and go, that's one more way they can keep the chains moving in this game. You know,
real quick.
Yeah.
Another reason to hate the Chiefs. I think we're up to 9 or 10 now.
Yeah.
Spags was obviously tampering there. I feel like if any team other than the Chiefs were to do that, they would have been hit with a tamper. The way I understand it, it seems like anytime a head coach compliments a player from another team, it's tampering.
Yeah.
So he goes up to CJ. Says, I admire your work. It's just laying the groundwork for if Spags gets a head coaching job somewhere. Yep. Tampering. Cheater. Remember, he called that a legal timeout earlier in the year that wasn't flagged?
Greasy mitts off our quarterback. All right.
Send that over to Ron.
Hughley?
Yeah, Hughley. Yeah. Evidence of their cheating.
Number three, Chris Jones. Chris Jones, I'm assuming fully healthy. He got hurt in the Texans game. Hasn't played since then. Chris Jones versus the interior of this offensive line, Seth, is kind of a big deal.
Okay, here's the thing, though, Sean. It's not just Chris Jones versus the interior offensive line. Chris Jones had his way with Blake Fisher a couple times. Chris Jones bull rushed Laremy Tunsil like Laremy was a prepubescent seventh grader right down there at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe that was on the third down that pretty much sealed the game for the Chiefs. Because Chris Jones can line up all over the place, the Texans have to sometimes alter their protection to address it. And then Spagnuolo's really good at calling blitzes to the other side, changing things up to screw. So in a way, they use Chris Jones to dictate pass protection. And that's the big cat and mouse game that's tricky for Bobby. Because he can't just do what he was doing early in the year, which is like do a full slide protection to wherever the biggest threat is, because they're going to get duped with something like that. That's the chess match between Spagnuolo and Bobby Sloak this week that's really interesting.
Yep. Number four, got to run the football. And I'm, you know, we'll see what this Joe Mixon ankle injury is. Hopefully it's the team just being overly cautious. He didn't seem to be acting like a guy with an ankle injury in the locker room after the game. He was smoking a gigantic cigar and screaming at Rex Ryan. But we don't know what this is.
Called Rex Ryan that boy. That boy said it was a bye week.
Rex Ryan bye week, Pat. Yep. But they're going to have to run the football in this game. The weapons in the pass game, Seth, it's Nico Collins, as you pointed out, who's outstanding. And then it's a bunch of guys who I don't know that they'd get on the field for the Kansas City Chiefs after that. Like, that's the drop-off. You know, the way you're going to get some of these guys open, I think, is to be able to line up and run the football. They were able to do that at the end of the Chargers game. That's the one thing I feel okay about with the offense, is that we're not asking them to do anything that we haven't at least seen glimpses of recently here, either, you know, in Week 18 or in the Charger game. Like, yeah, do that again. You know, like that last drive where they ran it 13 straight times. They don't have to run the ball great, but they have to be credible running the football.
And, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So
just that's where, again, It helps if there's any more respect or thought this week on the Chiefs' behalf of, okay, well, you know what, they're probably going to really they're going to take advantage of opportunities that when CJ runs, we got to be cognizant of that. That if that's part of the run game, then so be it. That's nice. Yeah, all use all your available resources. Joe Mixon, Damian Pierce, perhaps.
Yeah.
I mean, I that's. If Joe Mixon's ankle is a little banged up or really banged up, that Damian Pierce Titans game is looming large in my mind as a factor for how you manage this game.
Yeah, great point. All right, fifth one. The battle between what's worse, being off for 24 days and the rust that accumulates, or being a dome team that's playing in what's probably a kickoff going to be closer to like temperatures in the mid-20s or low 20s, kicking off late in the day. The high tomorrow in Kansas City is in the low 30s. I mean, it's going to be dark outside by the time the second half rolls around in this game.
Oh, yeah, it will be a night game, basically.
Yeah, the second half of this game. So which of those, you know, sort of non-X's and O's themes shows itself more in this game?
Pat Mahomes will have set a record if he starts this game. For longest layoff by a starting quarterback before the playoffs. He'll break Warren Moon's record. We'll get to a little bit more on that later.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are very good after bye weeks or with extra rest, but this is a long one. And Chris Jones and pretty much all the rest of the notable starters haven't played in a long, long time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see. Hopefully it does make it. And you got to spring it on them in the first quarter.
Yes.
If it takes those guys a couple series to kind of get their reaction time back and to get into the rhythm of the game, spring it all in the first. Put stress on their brains and on their nervous system and in their reaction time in that very first couple of series.
If you win the toss, do you take the ball or do you defer to the second half?
I say yes.
Okay. Either one.
Oh, you gave me an either or and I said yes.
Yeah.
I would say I say take the ball.
Take the ball?
Take the fight to him immediately.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the analytics say don't do that, but like what you're talking about, you know, the Texans are a good offensive team in the first quarter. The Chiefs are a rusty team. I think there's a case to be made to take the ball in this game.
Sean, part of my math learning disability that we talked about earlier is that I selectively choose to pay attention to the analytics.
I got you.
Okay? Depending on how my gut feel is, I either agree with it because I'm smart, or I disagree with it because I know football. You didn't play the game!
Right. No, that's good for radio. You're not an engineer. If you were an engineer and you were doing that, I'd be really worried, like building bridges and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's really lean into you didn't play the game
we
today.
We pick the engineer that uses math some of the time.
I want to be the engineer that says you didn't play the game.
All right, hey.
You've never driven over that bridge that goes over the ship channel. Right. You don't know what it's like.
Right. Hey, real quick, my prediction, Seth will give his in the 9 o'clock hour. F it. Texans 24, Chiefs 23.
Oh, I can't believe the Chiefs blew this game.
When am I going to get a chance to do this again anytime soon? Texans 24, Chiefs 23. Come at me. All right. That's your six-pack for the game. We'll get to, in headlines, Bobby Slowick interviewed for the Jets job yesterday. We'll get to that. The injury report for the game, Rockets on a back-to-back last night. They lost. We'll get into some of the details of that as well and a whole lot more in headlines coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's get into headlines. Texans Chiefs, 3:30 kickoff tomorrow. You can go meet the team today. See them off at noon outside NRG Stadium as they leave for the airport. The Chiefs are, they are 6-0 in the divisional round, with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, Seth. We know they're very, very good in this round, as has been reinforced by several Chiefs sycophants. Houston Stressens points this out. This will be one of the best defenses that they've played in this round of the playoffs. The six times they've been in the divisional round.
The Chiefs, the best defense the Chiefs have faced.
The Chiefs have faced, sorry, yes. Okay. The Chiefs have faced. The Colts in 18, they were 11th. That's pretty good. The Texans had a statistically a horrible defense that they scored 51 against in 2019. The Browns in 2020 were a bottom half of the league defense. Bills were a really good defense in 2021. That was the game that went to overtime that the Bills should have won. But they left 13 seconds for Mahomes to tie the game.
Too much time.
And then the Jaguars, which was a close game in 22, they were 24th. And then the Bills, again, last year were ninth, but that was a close game that the Bills missed a field goal to tie the game. So when it's been a good defense on the field with the Kansas City Chiefs in this round, the games have played very, very close.
Yeah, and I think one of the things about this matchup today is that obviously teams are different in the playoffs than they were during the regular season. And it's not just, we talk a lot about how the Chiefs have so much playoff experience. This year it's that the Chiefs have gotten healthy, finally, especially in the wide receiving core. They added DeAndre Hopkins. He's fully engaged and activated in the offense now. Hollywood Brown didn't get healthy until the last couple, he played in two of the last three games of the regular season. And Xavier Worthy was a rookie who came along as the year progressed. I think with the Texans defense, where you have to throw away a little bit of how many points the Texans defense allowed. Texans defense played really well, but they weren't a great scoring defense.
Yeah.
They were playing the entire season with two rookies starting in the defensive backfield.
Mm-hmm.
And that was at least part of the problem in some of the big chunk plays allowed.
Yeah.
That's where I think that this Texans defense is a better defense than their statistics showed during the regular season. And the statistics were pretty good during the regular season. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's a different ball of wax now. And they also have the benefit of a completely healthy front seven. We'll see about Azeez Elshire. But it's a much healthier front seven and pass rush than they've had for most of the season.
Okay, we're obviously...
And much less suspended on the defensive
line. Yeah, there are far fewer suspensions going on, yes.
Yeah.
We'll be digging into this game all show long, so we'll keep going. We'll get thoughts from the Kansas City side of things at 7 o'clock today. Bobby Slowik completed his interview for the Jets head coaching job yesterday, Seth. So,
yeah,
got that done. Texan fans probably not wild about their OC interviewing 2 days before a divisional game against the Chiefs, I would imagine.
I was curious about how Jets fans were feeling about Bobby Slowik specifically. So I found this one YouTuber, DKBXJets.
Oh, yeah.
Who seems like a pretty... I watched like 10 minutes of his video. He's a smart kid. Seemed pretty, like, well thought out and everything. But I was interested. This is what he started off with when he started off on the merits of Bobby Slowik. I want to get your off-the-cuff reaction to these first 2 points he makes.
As with every coach that we've covered so far, he is a former player, was a wide receiver at Michigan Tech. He also happens to be fairly young, where at being 37 years old, he has the luxury of, if he can find a way to have that long-term success, he could stick around for 20 years, really, if he wanted to, right? One of those rare situations of a coach that can go out of their own accord, right?
God bless. God bless the optimism of fans.
Oh, my God.
When he said former player, I didn't even let him finish the sentence. I had to back it up a little to be sure this video is about Bobby Slowik. And, he's a former player. He played wide receiver at Michigan.
So in DKBX, DKBX Jets mind, the YouTuber, Bobby Slowik's experience as a football player may as well be the same as D'Amico Ryan's experience.
Or Aaron Glenn.
Or Aaron
Glenn. Six of one, half dozen of the other.
If you wore a helmet and shoulder pads at any point in your life in a competitive football game, you're a former player.
Aaron Glenn, former first-round draft pick for the Jets, or Bobby Slowik,
Just former D3 wide receiver at Michigan Tech or wherever. Oh my God.
But also he's young, Sean. So if it works out, he can be there for 20 plus years. My God, I stood back in admiration at the ambitiousness of this young lad.
Oh, yeah.
It looked like he might have been in his early 20s. This kid has really known nothing except disappointment as a Jets fan, and he's already plotting out decades of excellence from Bobby Slowik.
Dude, I need that kid as my... If I were a college student, I would want that kid to be my professor. He's giving A's to everybody, man. He's got a flowery outlook on life, that guy. That's outstanding.
Look, you only got 40% of the questions right, but man, you're really close.
Oh,
I could see where you might end up being a Nobel Prize winning physicist someday.
You're young.
Yeah.
You're young.
Yeah.
All right, so Slowik completes the interview process. Rockets last night, back-to-back in Sacramento. They lose 132-127. I would say the big story in this game, Fred VanVleet missed the game for personal reasons. I don't know what the details of that are. So Amen Thompson got the start at point guard. I was excited about this, And I'll admit I only watched the first half of the game. It was a very late game last night. And it must have gotten better in the second half because he ended up going 20-10-5 in this game. But you could tell early on, like, for say all you will about Fred VanVleet and his inconsistent shooting, and he is. Like, he's an inconsistent shooter. But it was a lot of ISO ball early in that game last night.
Yeah.
A lot of ISO ball. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a football Friday. RIP to Bob Uecker as well. At age 90. Yeah. RIP to Bob Uecker. Let's get back into the Texans here. Thoughts on the game on Saturday, tomorrow at 3:30 from the Kansas City side on C.J. Stroud. What's the respect level right now for C.J. Stroud amongst the guys who are going to try to stop him tomorrow? We'll have that and a whole lot more coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Circle of Swarm, the most difficult one of the year, is coming up at 7:20 today. We'll do that. That's all coming up next.